The rock and roll headband of Lynchmere Common. It's called the rock and roll headband of Lynchmere Common, but actually any genre of music can be called forth upon wearing it. It's only called the rock and roll headband, as the first recorded wearing involved a multi-stadium sellout tour supporting Black Sabbath in 1981. Or at least, that's the impression Barry in his drainpipes got, but he was so shocked that he took it off within 13 seconds, so it might have only been one Black Sabbath stadium show. No one's sure. Thankfully, other wearers of the rock and roll headband have been more courageous than Barry, although, to be fair to him, they did kind of know what they were getting into ahead of time, unlike Barry. Nevertheless, since Barry's 1981 stadium tour, there have been three outings to the disco scenes of New York City and Washington, D.C., a bunch of visits to South London junglist massive clubs, various renditions of Grease and other musicals, some Royal Albert Hall type stuff, and, embarrassingly for Kate, who previously swore blind that Shuggy Otis was her favourite, a summer spent dancing around the Maypole while a bunch of Morris dancers played the lute. The fact of the matter is that each and every one of the glittery sparkles which adorn the rock and roll headband reflect a different genre of music. You might be looking at the headband and thinking, there aren't that many genres of music. In response, I would remind you that you are a mere earthling and the rock and roll headband is intergalactic. Anyway, the point is, once you put the headband on, you are instantly transported into the musical environment which matches your inner spirit. The upside for Kate was that, after she got over her initial embarrassment, she joined an historical reenactment society and now lives a very fulfilling life as a fair maiden on the weekends. As usual, I'm confusing things, as it's not Kate or Barry that I'm here to talk about. I'm here to tell you about Sue. Sue was a nurse at the local health centre and had faithfully served the town for years. Needed an asthma review? That was Sue. Got some dressings that need changing? Good old Sue. Even the little babies got their checkups with Sue, as she also stood in for the midwife on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Sue was a stoic type and open, warm and dependable, but because of the way the townsfolk interacted with her, in their time of need, very few of them knew anything about her. To the townsfolk, Sue just was. She was just there, a reliable fact in times of their need. I labour this point for one reason only, to underscore why Sue's jaunt with the headband became the principal story in headband lore. It was just so unexpected. That was the real Sue. Unbeknownst to the townsfolk, Sue loved Mexico. She had been there once when she was 25 and had retained a solid lover pair with the country ever since. When she wasn't ministering to the town's needs, she sewed miniature sombreros, which she filled with wadding and affixed to her walls as a Mexican-themed soundproofing. Soundproofing, you say? Yes, soundproofing. This was necessary as she played the panpipes with a large collection of sol bottles and had a nifty set of maracas made out of repurposed mezcal bottles filled with rice. She also had four irritating chihuahuas and made a mean mole. So Sue. Sue, the lady who loved Mexico. Sue of the four irritating chihuahuas. Sue, who had never married, as her true love was a romance of the spirit with Xochipilli. Sue, the, by now, really rather adept player of the soul pipes and mezzy maracas. Sue, who, one fine Sunday morning, was walking her four irritating chihuahuas on Lynchmere Common and spied some multicoloured shimmering from within a bramble bush. The shimmering was, of course, the headband. It had been thrown there in a fit of rage by Penelope, who had been snubbed by Taylor Swift during a recent jaunt with the headband. Sue gingerly fished out the headband from amidst the brambles and marvelled at her good luck in finding it. After inspecting it for rogue thorns, she popped the headband on, and that is where the story gets really interesting. When most people put the headband on, there is generally a connection to modernish, contemporary or classical music, so the intergalactic disturbances are fairly minimal. A pop star might think, what the fuck just happened there? Or an orchestra might have one extra cellist for an hour, perhaps. However, as Sue's true romance was with Xochipilli, the god of music, the headband had the occasion to call forth ancient forms of cosmic power and bestow unto Sue and the townsfolk who witnessed it some epochal level changes. The first thing that happened was Sue got 23 GIMP background dancers, whose vinyl chaps shone in the summer sun as their variously hued and oiled flesh rippled in muscular glory. Sue herself was liberated of her clothes and instead has some strategically placed dahlias to protect her modesty. On her head was the most elegant of hats made out of elaborately folded corn tortilla, and best for Sue, given how many photos were taken, her body was transformed into a firm but voluptuously perfect hourglass form. Finally, her wrists and ankles were adorned with yellow, green and magenta feathers. Ah, that's Sue. Finally, it was her time to shine, and shine she did. Every day, for the next year, 4 days and 8 hours, Sue put on the show of a lifetime. Before her were soul pipes of every pitch and mezzi maracas of every rattle, and she blew and she shook up a truly cosmic storm. At the end of each day, the universe applauded alongside the townsfolk present. In the early days, all of the townsfolk came to see her shows, but after a week or so, many reluctantly returned to their jobs and could only come down on the weekends and vacation time. Sue was treated as if she were on secondment, and Bill came down from the hospital to temporarily minister to the town's wounds and other nursing needs. The key to why Sue's adornment of the headband became the principal story in headband lore is in the paragraph above, that the universe itself was called to applause. It is unlikely that you know what it is like to witness the universe applaud, as this hasn't been common in the last 1,000 or so years, so I shall explain. When the universe is moved so, everything moves, as the universe is everything. Thus, one finds that what was once elsewhere becomes here. What was far becomes near. What was left becomes right. What was north becomes south. What was anger becomes tenderness. And what was once red becomes blue. And so on. You get the point. The best way I can think to describe this is to ask you to imagine you are on a funfair ride, zipping from left to right, with your insides only catching up after you have started your way back again. It was magisterially discombobulating and the wildest ride of the townsfolk's lives. Sometimes they were upside down, sometimes side by side. Sometimes they were in Peru, sometimes Zimbabwe. Sometimes it was 1982, and sometimes 432. Sometimes they were humans, and sometimes Coco's cuckoos. There was a certain subset of the townfolk who loved this and decided to Grateful Dead Sue, by which I mean dig out their tents and airbeds and permanently camp out on Lynchmere Common for the entire year and some change. This was to be expected, as it is the way of music to create diehard fans, and it is to them that we owe the great list of change which recorded every single thing an audience member became. Give thanks. It is obviously too long to record in toto here, but I commend you to visit the local library and peruse the list yourself if you are interested. Finally, 1 year and 4 days after Sue first put the headband on, she realised she'd had quite enough of that. So she announced to the crowd that this would be her final performance, and 8 hours later, she took the headband off. I cannot say that the crowd rushed to try it on themselves, as there was a lot of transpersonal psychology which needed to happen first. So really, all that happened was Sue suddenly had her wellies and dog walking gear on again. Her 4 irritating chihuahuas reappeared and started yapping, and she hung the headband on a fence and went home for a nice cup of tea.